All right, here we go. Episode 16 in the loop.
Second gonna be the NFL best Sunday. Episode ever.
Best episode ever. Zach says, "What are you wearing today? Last week you were in your Butte Aaron Rodgers jersey,
JUCO. Yeah,
Butte College JUCO. What do you got on today?
Haha, Clinton Dix, Packers green. Gonna change into the Butte before game time Sunday night.
I think from now on, every episode, I'm gonna set the stage with what you're wearing. Chris is wearing an Under Armour dry fit Utah Utes shirt he got online.
Let's go."
You have like an online shopping problem, I think.
Well, yeah, no, he does.
I don't know if it's a problem, but I like the long sleeve dry fit that feels good on my body. So every once in a while, I like to represent a new university. So
you like buying a lot of stuff.
I go to the doorman to get my laundry, and he's like, "Oh, so six packages for Kloop." I'm like, "Okay."
What's the other team you have? What's the other school?
West Virginia. I also have South Carolina and Michigan State.
The funny thing is that when you go to the gym in New York,
yes,
people think you're either a Ute or Mountaineer or a
Gamecock
or a cock. It's like, why else would you be wearing
that? I actually,
one
time, not to digress too far, but I was on a little work road trip, and this guy asked me if I went to South Carolina. Turned out he went to Furman and traveled 240 days a year.
So you guys chopped that right
up. The ironic thing is we were all Utes last night.
Yeah, no, we needed the Utes big last night. I was the only one going bananas at the bar for their kick return touchdown against Fresno State.
Wait, so Kloop, you got...
You weren't the only one. I was right there next to you.
So this was Kloop's birthday weekend. He turned 35, and that's a big one, and everyone knows that's a dark one. So he took a lot of action yesterday in college football.
All my favorite things in one day. We had some Bud Lights. We had a little action flying around, good friends. It was awesome.
And you took a couple losses during the afternoon session.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Army. Never bet against your country's servicemen.
And
is a takeaway.
What else? Notre Dame.
Notre Dame hurt, but then
should have seen that one coming.
But then you hit then you feel Utah, BYU, and Ole Miss sucked in together, a little three teamer, and all of a sudden you're doing the Macarena at the bar.
And talk about the most dramatic of those wins.
No, Zach and I. So Zach and I, as you saw in Lubica Logs, we have Texas plus +5. So Texas comes back into the game late. They score on a crazy quarterback run to tie it up, and they score a touchdown to get it to 44-43, and I just look at Zach, because we weren't watching the game, we just saw it on the bottom line, and go, miss PAT would be an absolute joy. Next thing you know, miss PAT.
On the ticker, it's like 45-44, Texas, missed extra point. I'm like, oh, that's good.
That's so beautiful.
So that was nice.
I was just thinking about what it would feel like to be on the other end of that one. Not good.
Oh, I've been there.
But you're there pretty much every day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was nice.
The tough losses
right
are always a little stick with you a little more than the great victories.
So what are the lessons you learned about gambling yesterday, you think?
More is better.
Yeah, I just think...
Go down huge early and then throw a crazy three-teamer at the wall and hope it sticks.
You're going to end up no matter what.
Yeah, I think the moral of the story is Kloop always wins. But it was a good day overall. A lot of fun.
College football all day. The games never stop on Saturday.
I also think it's so much better that college ball starts at noon instead of 1. Like, that just gets you going a little earlier.
It is right there for you.
It's right there for you. Yeah. Game day is so much better than the absolute garbage that Fox and ESPN put on for their pregame shows.
How good was game day this weekend?
Fox Sports had 6 guys on a pretend football field doing a dance-off between Michael Strahan and Terry Bradshaw today.
And some people like that.
No.
Middle of the country, the heartland.
If you had to choose between that and ESPN, like, what's your go-to pregame NFL? Are you Terry, Howie, you know, that whole thing?
I literally
thing?
Can't separate them
or
in my mind.
Boom.
They all blend together. So
I just watch Boy Meets World till 1 and then turn the games on.
I have no interest in the NFL pregame shows.
Back to you,
game
Boom.
Game day is an event.
Back to you, Boom. Edwarder in Texas. Thanks, Ed.
A lot going on in the world right now, but we can have a little fun today.
Remember when we saw his mansion in Hawaii?
Well, yeah, he's got an absolute spread out in Hawaii, out in Oahu.
Where's his robe the entire time he's down there?
But talk about Corso. I mean, what an absolute performance from Lee with the banjo out of Bama.
That guy is perfect. He's irreplaceable.
What are they going to do to replace him?
They're not. He's going to be on for the next 30 years.
Like, is someone going to be putting the mascot of hats on?
No, I don't think so. I think you got to retire that.
He's as old as Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
With what seems like a lot more energy.
It's a different look they have. Lou's a little more weathered.
Wait, have we talked about this on the air, on the pod, about Kraft and bringing the Lombardi Trophy out week one.
Yeah.
We did.
It's
mentioned
too much adrenaline for these fellas.
And you're worried about their health.
It's just Corso's pick last week when the Oregon Duck was hiding under there and surprised him. I mean, if that if he didn't know about the Duck, that could have been a serious
Corso
problem.
Still comes out with so much energy every day. It's unbelievable. He's 80 years old.
And how do you think Reese has been doing?
Reese is doing... I mean,
He's no Fowler.
There's no Fowler.
But. He's no Fowler, but he's the only guy.
I've always really liked Reese, but yeah, he's no Fowler. But the show is perfect, and I was just thinking about how much better it is than like what you just have to watch for the NFL stuff.
You have other college football stuff? Is that worth its own segment?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got a ton to say about college football.
Zach is watching Red Zone right now, so hopefully he can chime
in. It's Sunday, dude. That's what you do on Sunday. That's true. You do podcasts and you watch Red Zone.
Well, Saints go down.
We watch the ones, then we start
big
doing
piece
the
of news. Survivor is opening up this week.
Oh my god.
Saints
gosh.
Go down. Luckily, Zach and I kept it away. I took the Dolphins. He took the Saints.
It has been a tough 2 weeks for Survivor pools right off the bat.
I feel like people, for the most part, survived last week, but this week people got crushed.
Yeah, more
on
than
that game. Right?
More than half of the people in our Survivor League got taken down.
Jameis, no one saw that coming.
Yeah, I mean, he was only going to get better. It couldn't have gotten any worse.
And then flip side, Mariota, after everyone was anointing him the best QB in the league.
For the record on Luke Bigalox, you had the Saints, Clute. I had the Fins.
Oh, okay. So either way,
we are fine.
Well, yeah. Well, the Fins are losing right now, which isn't good, but I feel like they'll pull around.
The Fins will pull it out. They always pull it out in Northern Florida. Mm-hmm. It's just a known thing.
So, Clube, good birthday weekend, all in all.
Absolutely, give it.
Looking forward to his next.
Looking forward to my next one. Everyone that participated, thanks very much.
And that's a lot of you out there. Let's face it.
All 9 of you listening were at the party.
All 14 of you know exactly what Clube's birthday was like, and I'm sure you enjoyed it. And we're going to try and get Rick Pitino to call in with his Black Mass review.
Did he see Black Mass or was it Everest?
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, I want his take on both films, so.
That guy sees so many movies.
I know. He's a movie buff. People don't know that about him. So you want to start with college as we did last week?
Sounds good to me.
The chronological thing. Clue had me with that last week.
Let's stick to it. College football. Next in the loop.
Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. They say.
College football roundup. You're so deep in the college football game right now.
I can't wait to listen to Feinbaum tomorrow. Literally can't wait.
You listen to every second of Feinbaum,
not
right?
Every second, but a lot of it.
How many hours of Feinbaum are you consuming a week right now?
Well, the show is like 40 minutes equals an hour of the podcast. I would say I listen to like 5 or 6.
Oh, that's only
No. It's 40 minutes per hour. So the show is like 3 hours. Yeah, There's 40-minute podcasts. But I would say I listen to like 5 or 6 a week.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
And it is awesome. I played a clip for Zach. There's a drunk guy, Larry, from Alabama, who calls all the time. And he talks about how he put his buddy in a sleeper hold who's an Auburn fan until he said Roll Tide. And told and then told Paul that he had 7 Bud Lights at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday.
So he has a lot of regulars, right? They call in
a lot. He has like some legendary psychotic regulars. And then sometimes he lets them get on the phone with one another and scream at each other.
Is he filling some of the SVP Russillo void that's
I still
behind?
Listen to, I mean, I listen to a ton of sports radio, but I still listen to a lot of Russillo and Cannell. But I think during the football season, the Feinbaum show is incredible.
Cannell's doing a nice job filling in, isn't he?
The guy wears on. He's on all the time.
He's everywhere.
Everywhere.
He was wearing at halftime, I think it was last night, a tie clip that was a key. Like, it looked like a diamond key. Anyways, very fresh.
Yeah,
you look great.
Ooh, hello.
So where do you want to begin here? What was another good college football Saturday?
I think you got to start with Ole Miss Bama, right?
I thought you were going to say Rice, North Texas.
Ole Miss Bama. And we had the right side of that one.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it.
Bama was a 9-point favorite, I think.
It finished up at 8.5, but we talked about it on the Lupica Locks. Like, Ole Miss has a lot of talent. They could be a real national title contender, and they kind of remind you that they were before they started getting that injury bug last year. They were kind of one of the best teams in the country, and they beat Bama in Tuscaloosa. That's a tough task, and they played great last night.
You said to me, simple as this, you think they have the better quarterback and similar talent across the field otherwise.
Yeah, and that's a problem. I just don't. I was talking about this last night. I don't understand how Bama has not been able to get a stud quarterback. In Saban's entire tenure at Bama, in which he's won three national titles, the best quarterback he's ever had is A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, who, it's a sketchy list.
That's an, I mean,
but there's still a lot of titles. It's almost like it's never been a priority for him.
It has to be moving forward.
Yeah.
You can't just run the ball out of the I formation and have a game manager anymore and expect to win national championships.
Yeah. Chad Kelly played great last
night. A.K.A. Swag Kelly, white rapper extraordinaire.
A lot of swag.
He's got rap out there. He's got a lot of swag. Yeah. Reese actually read some of his lines yesterday.
That was tough to watch.
So Bama slips, obviously.
Do you think they can still make the title?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing happened last year. All they have to do is win out and to win the title. But the problem is they play LSU this year. They have a very tough schedule. They play at Georgia this year. It's gonna take a lot. But
Did you see the tweet from the Bama wide receiver Parker Barinow? Is that his name? I don't know if he's good. For the second straight year, we will be in the college football playoff, and Ole Miss won't. Bama isn't going anywhere. Hard O.
Definitely a hard.
All right, let me ask you this, Clue. Less impressive yesterday, Bama or Ohio State, who only beats Northern Illinois by a touchdown and looked bad in a lot of ways.
It's just
less impressive, probably Bama, but it doesn't matter for Ohio. I mean, probably Ohio State, but it doesn't matter for them in the long run. As long as they get the win,
they just have to keep winning games. Yeah. The problem is, and people, I was watching kind of the recaps. Now people are starting to say that him not choosing a quarterback is hurting the team because there isn't consistency.
Do you agree with that?
I don't know. That's an
easy thing for somebody to say after they play a bad game.
If they are to do this and to continue, and it does work, it would be the first time it's ever happened.
It's ever worked.
I mean, it'd be the first time like a high-level program, national title contender, has got two guys like playing at the same time.
I'm trying to think of teams that have tried it.
Spurrier used to do it sometimes in Florida just because he pulls people when they don't play well.
I'm thinking of like a Mike Leach Texas Tech team that used to throw a bunch of QBs in there.
It doesn't matter who plays QB for Leach.
Yeah, you get to throw it 95 times a game, and it's a joy.
So...
But it does. I kind of like them mixing it up. They're both good enough where they're going to beat everybody, I think.
We talked about this last week about Oregon, too. If you're going to take a loss, take it early in the season, and then you can kind of remind the college football committee throughout the rest of the season that you can still be a dominant
team. I don't know. If they had lost that game, or are you talking about Bama?
I'm talking more about Bama than I am about Ohio State.
Yeah, if Bama wins out, they'll be in the four, but they can't lose again.
Those losses are about on par, Bama's and Oregon's last week?
Yes, because the only difference being that Oregon's on the road against Michigan State. I think Michigan State was expected to win this, to win their game. I mean, I think, yeah, Michigan State was expected to beat Oregon. I think people were more surprised that Bama didn't, that Bama couldn't pull it off against Ole Miss.
And Notre Dame spanked us.
I hate Notre Dame.
Why did we bet?
Yeah, that was just a miss.
We fell in love with that triple option.
I mean, there's a lot.
And it just did not work. You could tell pretty early. Notre Dame's defense looked great. But you could tell pretty early that they just had a handle on the stuff that Georgia Tech tries to run, you know?
Well,
the
other problem for Georgia Tech in running that offense, and I was wrong because I've been so high on Georgia Tech all year, but the problem is if you get behind and you're running that stuff, it's just very, very difficult to come back in a game if you're running triple option because that offense is all about wearing a defense down, and if the defense is playing from ahead, they don't have to worry as much about it.
It's awful. I had two big bets yesterday, one on Air Force and one on Georgia Tech, both straight triple option teams.
It's hard to watch. I mean, look, you got to give them a lot of credit for getting players there, but I just can't imagine being somebody like being a high level national recruit and wanting to go play at Georgia Tech and run the triple option.
Seems like a lot of fun,
It seems like you get hit a lot.
And you fumble a lot.
Yeah, every play is high, huge risk.
And it's kind of annoying to watch. You never know who has the ball. I'm always like, does that guy have it up the middle? No, he's running down the sideline with it.
Well, I think that means that what they're trying to do is working.
Yeah, you
don't have good eye discipline watching.
You just got to tackle everyone.
That really is what happens. They're like, all right, you hit this guy, I'll wait till he gets the ball, destroy him.
So I'm just worried, like, hey, the listeners know, we're all BC guys, we're all BC Eagles, and I don't like it when Notre Dame's good, but I feel like they have the look of a team that is, like, so fired up about this, about responding to this Malik Zaire incident, and is going to be good, you know?
That's
a huge win for them coming off that.
I don't think they're going to get by Clemson, personally.
That's next week?
That is in 2 weeks, I believe.
In Death Valley?
It is.
I know. Yeah,
it's on the road.
On the road in Death Valley. I think Clemson's better than they are. But Look, this is a team with a lot of talent, Notre Dame. I mean, and the quarterback doesn't suck.
No,
he was a really high-level recruit. It's not like...
He threw one pick, right? He made a couple mistakes, but yeah, he looks good. He's going to be able to get them wins.
Biggest takeaway from a player and a team, I think, as far as just blown away, was Leonard Fournette yesterday. Looked like Adrian Peterson running the ball.
Heisman?
I think he's the front runner.
He's the front runner.
Seems like he has 250 yards every game. Nobody can tackle that guy.
He is imposing.
Runs with some anger. Yeah. There was a play you see.
He reminds you of AP.
You'll see this play a lot replayed. He's going into the end zone, and he sees a defender that he can run over if he felt like it, or he could have just gone straight in and decided to just truck this safety.
Is this their year?
I hope so. I love Les.
Oh, I love LSU. I don't know what it is about them, but I root for them in the SEC.
Auburn is just such a miss from everyone. Yeah, I mean, this was a national title contender. And
what were they ranked preseason?
Preseason, they were top five.
Yeah.
And they just get destroyed on the road in Death Valley. So, you know.
And almost lost to whoever, Jacksonville State 2 weeks ago?
J-State.
Yeah, kiss them goodbye. I mean, so much for Muschamp. I mean, that's a total free fall in 2 weeks. Season's over. What else?
What about our school Friday night? We looked good. We almost got the ball past the 40-yard line.
Talk about watching a game. That's just one of those situations. We were talking about this a little earlier. There's just some college teams. You watch like a spread team who knows what they're doing, and then you watch like BC I formation 2 yards of play, and it's like watching two different sports.
It's horrible. I mean, that's why we
don't have a play to get someone open 12 yards down the field.
That's why we would tailgate and go watch SEC games when we were in school there.
No, but I mean, no, seriously.
It's awful to watch. We're going to stand here and watch this, like, power eye day long.
You just got to feel like on a slant route every once in a while, they might be able to pick up 14, 15.
No shot. I know. And then our QB breaks third and 12. His ankle in the fourth.
Yeah, but now we're going to Flutie at QB.
And now we have a man named Flutie.
He's not good, but he's got a huge heart.
He is garbage.
He
played
can't run.
Soccer in high school.
Can't run, can't throw, but he's going to be gorgeous.
Come on, guys. We got a chance here. Fenway, Notre Dame, Flutie.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Come on.
Adazio with a great pregame speech.
The speech was so good, and then the outcome just like makes kind of less.
I think a lot of the speeches are so made for TV at this point. They know the cameras are in there. I don't think like the pregame speeches used to be how they are now. Now it's like an event.
It's like a
Republican convention.
Although I also think our expectations because of movies and stuff is that everyone's in there going fire and brimstone, getting them fired up. Some coaches just like... In no way can I see Nick Saban getting the guys ready to run through a wall.
No.
He's probably like,
not.
Don't fuck this up, boys. None of you are going to make the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, all right, go team. You know? So.
One last thing I wanted to mention here, college football-wise.
Sure, please.
Our favorite coach in the entire country.
Backdoor Bobby Petrino?
I'm not thinking Petrino. He's obviously
God, I love Backdoor Bobby.
Yeah.
But Cliff Kingsbury
had
one of the all-time post-game press conferences with an absolute shot across the bow.
Dude, you can tell that people do not like Brett Bielema.
No, and across college football, the animosity between coaches is so much more intense than in the NFL, I think.
There's also a lot of it has to do with style. So Bielema is all about
power. Here.
Salty football, man. Run it down your throat, you know, like... And these guys, you know, Kingsbury embraces the spread, but Bielema acts like, you know, if you run the spread, you're soft. It's like, no, that's just another way to run an offense.
Right.
And so he said, you know, I guess he gave some speech, and they kicked Texas Tech's ass last year.
To use Kingsbury's words.
Well, yeah, they really did. And then last week they lose to Toledo, and this week they lose to Texas Tech.
So let's hear what Mr. Kingsbury had to say.
I just think the physicality, that's a program that prides themselves on being physical. And at the Texas High School Coaches Convention this summer, he stood up and said, if you don't play with a fullback, we'll kick your ass. If you throw it 70 times a game, we'll kick your ass. And he just got his ass kicked twice in a row and probably next week by A&M as well. So that did feel good.
Best part of it is the end. Because he points out that they got beat by Toledo and that they just won. But then he just throws in for good measure that A&M's probably going to paddle him next week.
It's insane. And needless to say, for those listening, he looks gorgeous during this press conference.
He's wearing like a perfect suit.
Yeah. He's Ryan Gosling.
I think he's better looking than Ryan
Gosling. He's not, but you're close.
He has really made an effort to stay out of the limelight, though, this whole offseason because they were so bad last year. His looks were becoming a problem.
It was becoming an issue.
Yeah.
Like, he had to address his celebrity and good looks.
He'd go to the ESPN car wash and they'd be like, "You're so hot." And he's like,
But then he would do things to make it worse. There's this one shot of him last year when he's walking off the team bus and winks right at a camera. You know,
if I looked that good, I would wink at every camera.
There's no, I disagree here. There's no such thing as being too gorgeous.
I know.
No.
He's like, I'm going to try and rein it in, guys, but there's only so much I can do.
Yeah, no.
They're like walking off the bus with your pants off was a little much, but...
I just don't think you should do spring practice in briefs.
Are they any good? What do we know about that?
We'll find out next week.
Last year, they were dog shit.
They play TCU next week, who hung 80 on them last year.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. You can tell other coaches wanted to kick his ass because he's so damn attractive. and Gary Patterson on the TCU sidelines, like, what about Gary? You know, like, I got a big old body.
He's got a look.
Oh, he's got a look?
He's got something.
Yeah, so I don't know.
You think that's what it is? Bielma's just jealous.
Bielma's a big man.
Yeah, that's not what I asked, but fine, yeah.
And he's got the little strip down the middle, slicked right back, and he's just going to run it right down your throat.
We come down to the side of Kingsbury on this one.
Yes, when in doubt, choose the better-looking man.
John, get us Kingsbury on this show, in studio. Is that so much to ask? NFL next?
NFL now. Zach's got it on his red zone.
Zach, what are you watching right now?
Red zone, whipping around, 4 o'clock games. Hoping the Dolphins win for our survivor pool.
We'll talk about the 1 o'clock games next in a little bit. Something I cannot believe, nigga, please listen. Not myself, but most in disbelief. Baby, please. All right, NFL week 2. Kloof, I want to mention right off the bat, you and I, co-owners, 1-0. In fantasy, Zach owned 1, I believe.
You had one of those days, right, where you had a lot of points, but...
Mm-hmm. Isn't that one of the great injustices in
There's
life?
No way to remedy, though, is there? Unless you just do total points per year, which is boring.
And no one wants rotisserie. If you're in a rotisserie league, get the hell out. If
do
you're
they
not,
still have rotisserie leagues?
I hope not. But you,
I bet you in some dark corners of the internet, they still do have rotisserie
leagues. It's
ridiculous.
How do you not want a head-to-head matchup week in, week out? So you had, what, third most points in the league?
Out of 16, yeah, and I lost by 50.
And in case you've been living...
so you got pounded by the guy with the most?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's fun.
Wow. And in case you've been living under a rock, you can do one-day fantasy sports now. Have you heard about that?
Yes, Kloof, we've heard about
Good
it.
Good God, stop
there
with the DraftKings.
There is not a pot you don't have your hand in.
No, I'm done with DraftKings. I'll never do it again.
You deleted the app?
Deleted the app.
How many times have I heard that?
The overexposure.
Zach, how many times has he deleted the app?
Well, he hit zero in his account, and then he stopped.
No, I had fun with DraftKings during baseball season when, like, there's nothing to do. But the amount of commercials, the amount that DraftKings and FanDuel are discussing is driving me crazy.
How are they legal? And I know, listen, I know you're not a lawyer, but
it's considered a game of skill and gambling, regular gambling under the law. It's considered, fantasy sports are considered a game of skill, and true gambling is considered a game of luck. That's the difference.
Seems smart.
It makes no sense.
Like, yeah, it was so skillful to know Carlos Hyde was going to pour that TD.
Once Trump is president, I feel like it would all work out.
I was just going to say, and I want to talk politics with you.
I do too.
Because
I
know you watched
say.
The debate. And
I did.
You enjoyed it.
And it was a joy, yeah.
And you've been looking at the odds. You love Rubio at 2-7-1.
You saw his text to me.
Oh, yeah.
I saw value with Rubio. I was like, what is he, 2-1? 7-1. Hello.
24 million people see 11 guys talking politics in a debate. Zach sees odds.
That's what I think they need to do. That's the one change that they need to make for the NFL pregame shows. They just need more guys. 6 isn't enough.
You want more voices?
Sure, and just bit players, guys you don't even know who they are that aren't on camera most of the time.
How haven't the big boys at Fox, CBS, NBC gone after Matty Leinart out at Fox Sports 1?
Wow, he's killing it out there.
Oh my gosh. He's having a great broadcasting career post-NFL. Not that his football playing career wasn't.
I remember he started that one game. We were so juiced.
Oh, my God.
And then he
broke
immediately
his ankle
breaks his collarbone. Career over. We just said, oh, Matty, you just never were supposed to be this
He's
guy.
Like, and you know what? I feel like I was going to play real well.
You think about that Friday before the game, Matty, you're starting. He's like, fuck, really?
He's like, oh, no. I don't start. No.
That's not my bag.
No. Scout team.
So, Chris, you also hosed us today, Mike Evans. you thought he was playing.
Yeah.
Zach warned you that oftentimes they'll put guys as active suit up and not actually play.
Why the hell would they do that?
You went ahead and you played him anyways.
Why would they do that? And that's what's the point of putting Evans in uniform if you're not going to put him out wide catching bombs?
I don't know.
Okay, neither do I.
We got a lot.
I know.
And all
there is an answer. It's for the other team, so they think they have to prepare for him.
Well, obviously didn't faze the New Orleans Saints, although they did lose.
Who lost?
They're like, our whole game.
You are on a real roll here,
Clint. Sean Payton is like, our whole game plan revolved around Mike Evans.
Stick to college, John.
Stick to Saturdays.
I know nothing.
God, that zero in the Mike Evans column is going to kill us, dude.
No, the 101 from next sack reality is going to kill us. We're down 56 points.
That's an opposing team name. What else did you see 1 o'clock games?
Apparently, I don't know anything about the NFL.
Well, I'd still like your opinion on a couple of things we just saw so we can fill time on
Bill's
the podcast.
Bill's defense is supposed to be the best ever. They gave up 40 points. Johnny Manziel's the best quarterback in the league. The Bears suck. That's pretty much it.
We'll see you next time. I'm out of the loop. Very good, Squon. You know what? Two things I noticed, Chris?
This should be
the
good.
The dog pound in Cleveland. And the Ralph in Buffalo.
Two places I would never want to find myself.
Well, no, I would never want to go there. But those are the two most raucous crowds in the NFL.
No, we talked about this, and I told you the Raiders are twice as bad as both.
Well, the Raiders have the psychos with the face paint and the costumes. But pure passion, it is Cleveland.
Are you
Buffalo.
Seriously leaving Green Bay out of that?
Yes, Zach.
The Raiders.
Pure passion.
Oh, my God.
Bro, read a book.
The Raiders haven't won more than 5 games in like 20 years. People still go there.
Read a fucking book.
I'm not counting the Packers because they're good. And, of course, teams that are good have passionate fan bases.
Not like Packer fans.
Browns fans.
Don't poke the bear.
And he did.
I'm so glad they haven't played yet. As we're podcasting this.
Can we preview that? Or is it like
it
already happened?
What do you want to say about it?
What do you think?
What do you think?
I love the Pack.
I love the Pack, too.
Revenge.
I think the Seahawks are going to get exposed this year.
It's going to be great.
For what they are.
Yeah, for what they are. Actually, the shit team they
It's
are.
Actually good because I get the painful anxiety on Sunday, but knowing that we have the night game, you know, makes me feel a little better because I still have that to look forward to.
All right, give me a final score prediction.
24-21. Packers win by somewhere between 7 and 10.
What's the spread on the game?
Packers are favored by 3.5.
Will you have a taste?
I don't know. Depends how hungry I get.
After these 4 o'clock games.
Yeah. He tends to get hungry.
He does. Especially late on a Sunday. So you avoid the Sunday scaries because you have the game to look forward to.
Oh, I don't avoid them. They're still there, but they're like a little bit bottled down.
And then it just comes crashing down like a wave.
And I pray I go to sleep.
Especially in the event of a loss. Oh, dear God.
I didn't even think of that.
Wait, can we quickly talk about the other favorite team, the Giants? First team in the history of the NFL to blow double-digit leads in their first 2 games.
Clue.
Truly amazing stuff put on by them.
Good God.
They suck.
I don't think they suck, but this is the kind of start that just buries your season.
That's like, a hot take.
I feel like it's over after week 1 and 2.
It's not over.
It could
be the end of the line for Coughlin. If they don't make the playoffs, it's got to be a new
coach.
Making
the playoffs in the NFL hinges on those games. Like games,
especially
like they
in your division.
Well, yeah, obviously week 1
like
against
the
Cowboys
is
huge.
Yeah, a game that was handed to them with 2 touchdowns on defense.
It's very confusing with the timeouts and the clock at the end of the games for Eli.
It's seriously fascinating. The coaches in the NFL, this is all they do, and they still screw up with timeouts.
It's the most important responsibility they have.
That's why I play so much Madden that I know exactly when to, I should be on a sideline somewhere. I know the good timeouts.
Zach's clock management in Madden.
No, my clock management is insane.
There's been word that your Madden playing is slightly unrealistic. You kind of go for the cheat plays.
Not true.
Slant plays that work every time.
I ran one slant. It was incomplete, and one of our listeners now hates me for the rest of his life.
Nick Pena, we hope we can one day win back your
love. What's your biggest takeaway, Alex? Whole day.
From this week?
From 1 o'clock slate.
Just how insane the gut reactions to week 1 of the Bills and week 1 of Mariota and how those turned complete opposite.
Mariota actually didn't play that bad
today.
His numbers were decent.
What were his numbers?
Ask me what my takeaway from the week is. Marco Rubio is going to be president. He's gorgeous.
7-1.
7-1 just to get nominated.
I like the value. Wait, I want to talk a little more NFL before we get to the presidential election, which I didn't prepare for, but we should get into it because it's important.
We're not just Sports and Bachelor on this podcast.
Oh, I want to talk about Patriots and also two guys who I think you can make a case for, strictly skill-wise. Two of the best players in the NFL. Gronk is one, and he got taken second in our fantasy league group.
I thought it was, I mean,
and it's starting to look like a good pick. Antonio Brown is another guy who I think is just insane. This emerged as, like, the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's awesome. I mean, last year, he, like, every single game had, like, 7-plus catches and 100-plus yards.
He's absurd.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And so that's it.
Where are we at on Peyton Manning?
Noodle arm.
He sucks.
The noodle.
It's the straight noodle.
He's no Favre.
I mean, that was one of the craziest, worst losses I've ever seen in the NFL, how that game turned out.
The Broncos are 2-0 and could easily be 0-2.
But it doesn't stop me from saying that. It's all noodle.
No, he just misses some throws that he never used to miss.
The problem is,
even the good throws have absolutely no zip.
If you lose arm strength in the NFL, you need everything else to go perfectly in order to make plays. You need great protection, and you need to, like, the guy to be open by more. It's just, you're asking for more. And this has to be his last season.
That's it.
That's why Brett lasted as long as he did, because he could.
That's why Brady is going to last longer than Peyton, because Brady hasn't lost any zip off the ball. So it's, you know, other than that, as long as you keep yourself in decent shape, you can play. But if you can't throw it with that kind of velocity, you're in huge trouble.
And I feel like Peyton never really had the zip.
No,
Brady,
right, yeah,
right?
No, he
you
never
know,
had
originally.
Yeah, he never had elite arm strength as it was, but now he's lost a little something off of it, and it's totally different.
You know, he can still make it work, but yeah, I think this is pretty much the last year.
That said, they are 2-0 and have beaten two good teams, so it's probably still, they're still a playoff team.
Last week, total and complete fluke.
Okay, I'm saying.
And Andy Reid, as I mentioned last week, has slimmed down. He looks
great. He went
great.
On Nutrisystem over the offseason.
Is that a fact?
No, but that's just my professional opinion.
Maybe.
So there's a rumor going around that you're taking someone down today in the sauna.
It's not someone, it's something.
But you didn't tell us about it. By the way, there was a lot of backlash.
Blood and oil. Yeah, I had no idea the kind of support it had publicly.
They have a following, and it is upset with you.
Well, Chris, usually when you take down something that involves Don Johnson, people are going to be pretty upset.
And Chase Crawford.
I mean,
what were you thinking? That's going to sink this whole fucking podcast.
I got news for you about what I'm thinking. Talk to me after the third week of Blood and Oil when they're doing Seinfeld reruns at Tuesday at 8 o'clock on ABC.
Years from now, they're going to look back and look at the Blood and Oil takedown as the turning point
when
for this
Blood
podcast.
And Oil becomes the next Breaking Bad, I'm going to be on the street.
I also heard a lot about how people were surprised with Kaloop's love for Ken Jeong.
Yeah, they had no idea.
He plays a gynecologist in that show.
Jesus, how do you always bring it back to Jeong?
Yeah, I know.
When you're watching the Packers he's going to be in his room. Yeah. By himself,
I saw a commercial for the Jeong show and laughed my ass off.
All right. Hopefully it's nothing Don Johnson related next.
Blood and Oil is going to suck.
Sauna next. All right, Z-Loop, before we jump into the sauna, I said I wanted to mention presidential politics.
Okay.
You watched the whole debate.
I watched like 66% of it.
Which is a lot because the thing was 3 hours.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but is that 2/3?
I don't know. We'll ask John later.
And what did you think?
It was great.
You love Rubio.
I like how Donald Trump destroyed Rand Paul in the first 30 seconds.
Totally unprompted right off the bat.
That was a joy, yeah.
That's the best part of it. Completely unprompted. They asked him a question about something else, and he just goes, "You're an 11th. You don't deserve to be here."
I mean, he wasn't even mentioned, and he just he just went right at.
Why
Rand.
Does he hate?
I him? Guarantee you, in the beginning, Rand was thinking to himself, "Like Trump's going to destroy me.
I'm going to get destroyed again tonight."
Well, in the first one, he said he was like, "Rand, you're having a tough night."
Yeah,
wasn't nearly as bad as "you don't deserve to be here."
And then I didn't mention your look, and believe me, there's plenty of subject matter there.
Like, just making fun of him for being ugly is great.
That is the state of our politics today. It's insane. I mean, first debate, you had to wait 30 seconds to get a Rosie O'Donnell joke, and then this time you had
the Rosie O'Donnell comment by Trump is the greatest public line of our time.
And people went nuts.
And he goes, Thank you.
Thank you.
That was my favorite part, that he thanked the audience for their raucous
Zach,
cheers.
Are you seeing value?
Yeah, bro, I told you, Rubio, 7-1.
You say just put the farm on Rubio, 7-1.
Yeah.
All right. I wonder if the odds...
I mean, you just look at that guy and you're like, he's going to be the president. It's that simple.
You think?
Yeah, like, do you look at Ted Cruz and say that?
No.
You say, get off my screen, give me Marco.
What about Jeb? What about Jebby?
Nah.
No?
Nope.
It's all Rubio. It's 7-1.
Yep.
He speaks for the American electorate.
My also final thought of the week was Jason Pierre-Paul.
The claw.
It originally came out he lost partially part of his index finger, and now he looks like Chubbs Peterson from Happy Gilmore.
After the truck runs over the wood.
Yeah.
Damn firework blew my hand off.
That's literally what he looks like. So, yeah, he's going to be real good for your guys' Giants.
The crazy thing about it is Pierre-Paul's attitude has been like, no, 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 you don't get it. This is going to be fine. Like, he's defiant with the organization and with the public. It's like, no, dude, we're allowed to be upset that you blew most of your hand off.
They're like, part of the thumb's still there. I look at the picture, I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, that's not a functional thumb. I was looking at my thumb. It's like, you need the
top half. You got a nice...
Where did they... What play were we watching today, Zach, when you said...
Like, I was watching... Anytime that someone grabs a hold of someone's jersey, you can't do that without a thumb. You can't do it.
How did they get the picture?
It's just...
Do you know where it was from? He was just walking around somewhere
with...
Yeah,
he's in Miami now, so somebody got a photo. I think the Daily News had a guy stationed down there.
I mean, you heard about how alarmed the Giants' medical team was when they saw it for the first time.
They should cut him.
And now you can understand why.
They should take the hand off and get him a claw. I mean, or a hook.
I feel bad laughing. It's just insane. It's just an insane
situation. Well, the fact that he wouldn't show the Giants the hand for this long should have been a dead giveaway that it was going to be way worse than we thought.
And, well, there was a contractual reason that he waited so long, right? Yeah, so... All right, Zach wanted to bring up the claw, and now Kloop has something to say about Don Johnson.
I don't have anything to say about Don Johnson, although his new show is going to be garbage. I've been thinking about things that become the new big thing in our generation that just are never going to come to fruition. 3D printing is not happening.
Yes, it is.
No. Okay.
He was spewing this last night. All night. Did you hear?
No, yeah, I stopped listening.
Not all night.
With such
a thought. It's a thought that Okay, so if you need a baby, a crib for your child, are you going to print it out?
Yes.
No. Man-made, American factory work, blue collar, that is the heartbeat of our economy, and it will continue to be.
Is this a broadside on 3D printing?
And
or
Google
on...
Glass is another thing.
Okay,
forget it. Never going to happen.
So you're really just going after impressive cutting-edge technology.
Yeah, cutting-edge technology that is
That's pretty much what you're going after.
No, impressive is the wrong word. It's just like...
What about the driverless cars?
I'm looking forward to those.
I feel like those would go in the same category.
No.
With things that already happened.
If you can print out a new desk for my apartment, then I'll concede to you that 3D printing works.
See, I feel
like... I defy our listeners to bring me a printer that can print out a basketball hoop.
I feel like this is a good argument to make, because by the time 3D printers are commonplace...
I'll be famous.
Yeah. The podcast will be a huge hit. We won't have to...
Nobody will give a shit what we said back then. They'll just care that we're huge stars.
All right, let's wrap it up. Let the Sunday scary set in.
Housekeeping.
Oh, God, John. Why must you?
We didn't do housekeeping on the Lupica Locks, and John smacked me in the face.
The day is dark enough, John, and you want me to plug the show and its Instagram. Well, I'm not gonna do it. Not this time. Not today. See you next week.